Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Kate Delaney, thanks for hanging with us. Hope you're doing well wherever you are listening to us. Remember, there's a couple of ways that you can zig and zag to fall into what's happening here on the show at all times, 24/7. It's just like a drive-through that you don't have to have plexiglass and masks and all that kind of stuff. Yep, 24/7, go to katedelaneyradio.com. In fact, right at the top of this, how about that? We're looking for heroes. Who is doing something spectacular to help others in this pandemic that you think needs a little clapaholic? We have our clapaholics that are trying to raise the applause in your little hollows, wherever they may be. Or maybe they're big. I don't know. Maybe you're in a downtown apartment building somewhere. All right, so I started with Hail to the Chief because the president tweeted support for Elon Musk after he reopened the Tesla plant against the county's orders in Alameda, that would be, in California. So the president went to Twitter and said California should let Tesla and Elon Musk open the plant now. It can be done fast and safely. So Tesla employees did just that. They went to work on Tuesday before 7 a.m. They filled up the parking lot and went on in. They were not stopped. There wasn't anybody handcuffed or fined or any of that. So it's kind of a standoff, if you will, Musk versus California. He did threaten to move to Texas or someplace else. So the plant is operating outside of compliance with Alameda County health orders. And remember, this is Tesla, where they produce electric cars and all kinds of different vehicles. And one of the employees there, because, of course, employees were asked, said, I'm happy to come back to work. I think they're well prepared because they did have station set up and the distancing and all the things that you would have to have now if you go back into business, just for the safety of employees, peace of mind, etc., and all of that in between, I think, for sure. So interesting that Musk gets a pat on the back from the president, and Musk talks about leaving, and suddenly, poof, There is nobody there to say you cannot open. Because he made it pretty clear that he was going to do that, right? He made it clear that that was going to happen. And sure enough, he did it and he went forward with it. All right, always at the top of the show, I give you the death total so far, sadly, of Americans who have lost their lives, those that have recovered in the confirmed cases. So right now we have 1.4 million cases in the United States, confirmed cases. Deaths, 83,019. Recovered, 235,000 have recovered. So that's the good news, right? The good news is that we have that, because when you see the ventilators, when you see the people and hear the stories of people who go into hospitals and don't come out, when you hear the tragic stories of we couldn't go to a funeral, so we had to watch it stream. I mean, there's so many of them. We know them. We want to hear also the truth about how many confirmed cases, but also those that have recovered. There's conversation in Washington, of course, about bailouts, and the conversation includes the Democrats proposing a $3 trillion COVID-19 stimulus bill. It would be the largest relief package in history. So there would be money for state and local governments because, of course, they're crashing and people are starting to be laid off. There would be coronavirus testing, a new round of direct payments to Americans. But that certainly sets up a clash with the Senate. The Republicans say that another round of emergency funding isn't yet needed. And they say it's not going to pass. It's not going to be supported. We'll see what happens, and then if it's going to be maybe down the line, as the Republicans are saying, so maybe not yet, but something that will be discussed in the future, and it might not be $3 trillion. Who knows? All right, you want some other news when it comes to what's happening with the coronavirus? So testing, because doctors are starting to see patients that have a really wild range of syndromes and symptoms that are all of a sudden popping up that weren't there before. One of them is blood clots. Blood clots on people that supposedly were pretty healthy. And they do a quick diagnosis, then they, you know, slice open the arteries and scoop out the clot if that's where it is. There's also multi-system organ failure is what they're saying. So a couple of different organs that just get shut down. And that's pretty scary. Children's immune systems are overreacting. That's one of the saddest that we've seen, where all of a sudden you have kids that are 10 having heart attacks or symptoms that are like toxic shock, where before it was thought kids are perhaps not going to be the casualties in any way with COVID-19. And let's hope that trend doesn't continue. Then you have Dr. Fauci answering questions, the Senate grilling Fauci and other medical advisors to the White House about the coronavirus, so the coronavirus task force, that one thing that Fauci said is if the states and cities might face serious consequences if they open up too quickly. He urged states not to do that until they know they have the capability to handle the uptick in cases once they relax stay-at-home orders. The senator from Kentucky, Rand Paul, didn't agree, saying that it's not one size fits all. Fauci said in his testimony before the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee, his concern was that if some areas, cities, states, or what have you, jump over those various checkpoints and prematurely open up without having the capability of being able to respond effectively and efficiently, that we'll see little spikes that might turn into outbreaks. And that there is real risk that you'll trigger an outbreak that you may not be able to control, which will set you back, not only leading to some suffering and death that could be avoided, but set you back on the road to economic recovery. Now, that's scary. So then you tie the other part of that together after everything that people have done, and you might not be safe. Rand Paul did not agree, and again said it shouldn't be one size fits all. So that did get a little heated. Stay with us. Numbers, numbers, numbers. We can count. Coming up around the bend.
Hand sanitizer is not an option. It's now a must-have. But where can you find it? Online at 2020safe.net. The highest quality hand sanitizer that destroys microorganisms and prevents transmission of pathogens. Now available in a 1-liter bottle with a bonus at 2020safe.net. When you order a 1-liter bottle of our high-quality hand sanitizer, you'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $14.95 value, free by using code GCN at checkout. 2020safe.net offers many natural products to help support health and help you live a more fulfilled life. life. From germ-zapping hand sanitizer to immune-building nutraceuticals to natural stress, anxiety, and sleep aids, 2020safe.net has what you need in stock today. Just click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your bonus free 30-count bottle of immune booster. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours free. Go now to 2020safe.net.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than two decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.
In the middle of a crisis, now is the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity and pursuing my dreams. I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Tracing is one of the best defenses against the coronavirus. Anyone can do it if you have time and the know-how. You can learn for free, by the way. How about that? This week, John Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health launched a free online course on contact tracing for amateur sleuths hired to stop the virus in its tracks. It's required for the thousands of contact tracers that New York is hiring, but it's available to anyone who's interested. So did you hear that? It's an evolving process, but public health experts say the U.S. can't safely reopen without it. So a study from the Bloomberg School's Center for Health Security estimated the U.S. will need at least 100,000 contact tracers to stymie COVID-19 before reopening. So that could be something interesting. If you're looking for a gig eventually here, although would you have to go in person, I wonder, or would this be more an over-the-phone thing? Because I noticed there were some people that were doing the tracing in person. Apple and Google say they could soon launch contact tracing apps. They notify users when they've come in contact with someone exposed to the coronavirus. Oh, that would be lovely to get that, right? That dinging sound. Oh, coronavirus, you just touched another one. Although maybe it's better to be prepared, perhaps. I guess you could look at it that way, right? Better to be prepared than to not be prepared for what could be the inevitable. The Los Angeles mayor is trying to quell the fears of people who are tired of staying home. He's saying that residents there shouldn't overreact to a top county health official's announcement that a stay-at-home order will stay in place for months. Eric Garcetti, who is the mayor of Los Angeles, said the order would be in place for at least 3 more months. Doesn't mean the order stays in place exactly as it is. The mayor said that some vulnerable population groups may have to continue to stay at home, but they're rethinking everything they can. Several big universities, including Cal State Northridge, Cal State Long Beach, among the 23 schools in the state where in-person classrooms will be closed for the most part through the fall semester. So they do know that. And if you look at the school system, the schools have about 480,000 students. The number of inflammatory illnesses in New York children rises. I briefly mentioned that. It's up to about 100 cases now. It might be related to COVID-19. That's up from 73 the week before. Medical experts do say the immune treatments and blood thinners can help children affected by the syndrome. Oh, the worst is to have those kids now getting it. I've already said that probably 3 times on this show. To me, that was like one of the rallying cries, the bright spot. Hey, at least you're not having to worry about children with this. At least the children are safe from it, but the answer is, ding, 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 nobody is safe. Nobody is safe, sadly. How about this? We move to something else that's interesting. Saudi Arabia is going to put a 24-hour curfew in place for a big holiday that they have that's part of the Muslim rituals to curb the spread of the coronavirus between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. People in Saudi Arabia will be allowed to leave their homes to get essential goods for medical reasons. That's it. The kingdom had earlier had a 24-hour curfew imposed throughout most of the country, but loosened it once Ramadan began. But some areas with high coronavirus numbers remained on lockdown. You know, that is the key. Coming up on the show, we're going to talk to Laurel Myers. She's written a book called Healing After the Navy Yard Shooting, One Survivor's Story of Her Struggle to Return to a Normal Life. You listen to what Laurel has to say about that day not too long ago, back in 2013 at the Navy Yard, when everybody's life on that Navy Yard got turned upside down, but particularly the people that were right in the middle of it. And she was one of the rare survivors of that shooting, where once again it was somebody who worked there who was disgruntled, and they had, I remember the footage of it, the Washington Yard, and what that looked like. He shot 12 people, injured 3, fatally shot 12 people, injured 3 others in that mass shooting, and Laurel Myers was right in the middle of it with the gunmen pacing back and forth, very, very close to her. That gunman, Aaron Alexis, shocked people when he went in and did what he did. But an interesting conversation with Laurel Myers about how do you get out of that? Once something like that happens to you, how do you wrap your mind around that and move on from there? And people are having a hard time moving on from what's happening as a result of the pandemic. How do you keep marching forward every day? Although I wouldn't compare the two, in many ways different, but some similarities of being able to move forward. So pay attention to the conversation. It's a very, very powerful conversation. Very powerful. To me, I think what's been interesting is, because I'm a fan of the book, you know, I have Author's Corner here on the show, and I love the fact that books are making a comeback. you know, it seemed like books were, it was all about Kindle, and it seemed like books, there, yes, there were people getting books, but not to the level they used to before. COVID-19 has kind of a, has had kind of a weird thing happen where bookstores, physical bookstores, have seen a drop in overall book sales, but online sales are picking up. So they're soaring in many cases compared to what they were. But, of course, because it's not opened to the public, that makes a difference in what the numbers show. Disney. Disney found a way to do it. Shanghai, I'm not kidding, Shanghai Disney opened up and had a reopening where people were desperate to get in, so there was social distancing. They had to wear face masks, but they didn't have any problems finding plenty of people that wanted to see Mickey and Minnie and anything else branded by Disney. One thing that Disney is saying, just like Shanghai's park opening up, that facial protection will probably be mandatory for park goers and cast members in Disney World and Disneyland once they reopen for business. And that's got to be difficult to figure out how to open up these big parks. But China's Shanghai Disneyland reopened to the public on Monday, the first park of the international empire, because they do have an empire, to do it. Modified, like I said, 30%, it was actually 30% capacity, and they enforced health safety measures like social distancing and face masks throughout the grounds. And they were very diligent about that, watching to see how people would respond. And I guess they responded pretty positively. So that bodes well for the other parks and them opening up and having different measures in place. And what would that, you know, what would that look like? It would look like people having a good time, getting on a few rides, and figuring out a way to enjoy the park even in the midst of a pandemic. I think that's the key thing, and that's why Shanghai, they were moving forward. They were going to roll it out, and people were happy to oblige, pay the ticket prices, and show up for Shanghai Disney. After this, I think I'm going to go through my stuff in the closet. I believe I have Mickey Mouse ears. If I do, I will take a picture of it and post it on Facebook. And that would be at Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Laura Myers next.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
House Democrats are pushing a $3 trillion stimulus package. It's the fifth and largest to be considered, and it has money for state and local governments as well as families. Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi.
The HEROES Act focuses on three pillars: opening our economy safely and soon, honoring our heroes, and then putting much-needed money into the pockets of the American people.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell wouldn't call the bill dead on arrival, but there was an inference to that, saying the Senate wants more targeted stimulus.
Well, what I've said is we're taking a look at what we've already done. We've added about $3 trillion to the national debt and assessing the effectiveness of that before deciding to go forward.
The House is expected to vote on the bill on Friday. This is USA Radio News. In New York City, Mayor Bill de Blasio says 52 children have been diagnosed with an inflammatory syndrome that's possibly linked to COVID-19.
It's sobering, it's bluntly frightening, and I want to say to parents out there, if you're hearing this information about pediatric multisystem inflammatory syndrome and it sounds scary, it does sound scary. I'm speaking as a parent myself.
At least 14 people were killed, including two newborns, during an attack at a hospital in Kabul, Afghanistan. Interior Ministry spokesman Tariq Aran said the attack also left some new mothers and nurses dead at the maternity clinic, which is run by Doctors Without Borders. Witnesses say they heard gunfire and two explosions at the beginning of the attack by suicide bombers. Special forces killed all the attackers during a clearing operation. They also moved about 100 people to safety. The Taliban, which signed a peace deal with the U.S. in February, denied responsibility for the attack. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Navy Yard shooting. My mother worked for the Navy in Philadelphia, and when what unfolded not too far from Philly, you know, outside of the nation's capital, everybody went into sort of a silent prayer and panic mode and everything else. Imagine living through that. So Laurel Myers joins us. She's written a book called Healing After the Navy Yard Shooting, One Survivor's Story of Her Struggle to Return to a Normal Life. And she is the subject of our author's corner. Laurel, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So take us back to that moment. You were there, and there was so much nonsense that came out afterwards, and misinformation, and, oh, what he had done, and et cetera. But you were there. You were in the middle of that.
I was. I was on the same floor, just a row of offices between his area and my area. And I guess you call it stupidly, but I automatically picked up the phone and dialed 911, so I was on the phone with 911 the whole time.
One of the things that you learned, I'm jumping in here for a second, one of the things you learned is that you had people around you that were, like, what do you think, your first instincts? You're on the phone with 911. How are you keeping quiet, and what are you doing to hide or keep yourself covered?
Oh, I had a cubicle with some vertical files in the back of it, and I ducked down in between the two vertical files and pulled my nice black office chair in front of me and my black briefcase piled in front of that in the bottom of the chair. So I was in the shadows, but I had the phone line down with me, and the office phone, and the whole time I was talking to the operator, I made sure that I couldn't hear him nearby, hear him or feel him. And the one time that he did come by, you could feel him there because the building was originally built for building the 16-inch guns that were to go on battleships. And the cranes were still there, the cranes that held the guns that were being built. And all they did was put in suspended floors. So we had five floors of that were suspended from in the building. And I was on the fourth floor where this all started. And I could, you could feel the footfalls of people walking by. So knowing that there was no one else nearby and feeling the footfalls of this heavy person walking behind me, I told the operator that I was not going to talk to her, and because I feared that he would hear my voice, and I didn't want her to talk to me because I feared that he would hear her voice. Mm-hmm. And he stood behind me in the cubicle behind me and walked and paced back and forth and stood, and then you could feel when he changed his weight from one foot to the other, and I was so afraid that he would hear me, or I was afraid to breathe even, because he would hear me. And the walls of the cubicle are just material. They're no protection. And if he heard me, he would shoot through the wall, and that would be it for me. So I put the phone down, and put it down facing the floor so that she, if she did talk, it would be to the floor, not to me. And the entire time he was there, I just did not speak and almost did not breathe. And then as I felt him walking away, I finally had the nerve to pick up the phone again and let her know that we could talk again. That is the closest he got to me.
Wow. Wow. So you come out of this, and as I said, the title of your book, Healing After the Navy Yard Shooting, One Survivor's Story of Her Struggle to Return to a Normal Life. How do you return to a normal life after that?
Still working on it.
Wow.
I was seeing a couple of psychologists for a while there, and a psychiatrist and a therapist. And, you know, one by one, we dropped them off, and I got down to one psychiatrist and one psychologist for 5 years. And it came to the point where both the psychiatrist and psychologist wanted me to go back, when we opened the building again, go back into the fourth floor where he had gone, and the now new remembrance area, and in our old cubicle area. So I made use of the chaplain that they had there, and I talked to him about it. And at first I felt that God had abandoned me. And I told the chaplain this, and figuring he would, you know, chastise me for this. And he said, no, the chaplain was Jewish, and he had his culture had gone through the Holocaust. And I said, how do you do this? And he said, he gets up every day and he prays. And I said, I can't do that. And he said, it will happen. And so he assigned me to go through one of those areas, and I said, I can't do that unless I can talk to you afterwards. And he said, no problem. Call me when you're going to do it, and I'll set time aside. So we did this, and he assigned me to read two books by two different people who had lived through the Holocaust and had written about the same feelings I was going through. And once I had read them, I thought, well, I hadn't gone through the Holocaust. I'd gone through a shooting. I hadn't lived through years of being treated the way those victims were treated. And so started comparing my feelings against their feelings. And the chaplain said, okay, I think you need to write a book. And so he assigned me to write a book. I said, okay. And as I went through the different areas, I began to feel, well, God didn't abandon me. He abandoned us, all of us, those who died, those who were affected, just the whole building. And then I began to find myself saying their prayers, just as two writers of those books had found themselves saying prayers. And over a period of years, I started going back to church. My husband asked me to go to church with him. And I said, oh, okay. But I didn't sing. I didn't even listen. I just went with him because he asked. And slowly but surely, I started participating again in church. And now I find that I am doing more praying. I am doing more of the singing in church. It just took a long time to work into this, amazingly long time to work into this. And now I just found that God lets things happen and lets us work it out.
Wow, what a powerful story, and what happened there, and what he taught you, what the rabbi taught you. What do you hope people learn from reading your book? What do you hope they take away from it?
What happens to you happens for a reason that's unknown to us, and it's up to us to figure out what was the intent and what we're supposed to take away from it, and to learn from it, and to move on. And eventually, it may not seem like it right now, it's supposed to make us a more powerful person, a stronger person. And this is the part, I think, where I'm at now. I'm working on the being stronger part. Now, this shooting happened in 2013. This is 2020. And I'm finally getting to the part where I'm working on the being stronger. So it does take a long time.
In writing the book, as the rabbi told you, did it feel cathartic to you? Was it good to release all of that?
It was. It was good to compare. It felt very strange to have the same feeling that these two other people had, who had been through a lot more than me. I didn't feel like I deserved to have those feelings, because I didn't go through this huge, long, life-changing event that they went through. I went through a shooting. I had friends killed, and I still had that same feeling. I couldn't reconcile that, and I kept asking why, and that question didn't get answered. So I think it was the point of God lets you figure out why in your healing.
That's very powerful, and the book is powerful. And again, you can pick it up on Amazon or any place where great books are sold. Healing After the Navy Yard Shooting, One Survivor's Story of Her Struggle to Return to a Normal Life. Laurel Myers, thanks so much for sharing your story with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
a crisis, now is the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity. In pursuing my dreams, I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113, drinksupertea.com.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Attention, gardeners. If you need to grow nutritionally dense vegetables or medicinal herbs this year, listen, because a bioactive superfood for plants is now available. This all-natural superfood for plants is so effective at producing maximum plant growth in minimum time that it almost forces plants to grow, even under the worst light and soil conditions. It's called ProtoGrow, and it's truly remarkable. Vegetables grow faster and contain more bioavailable vitamins and trace minerals. Plants that rarely bloom will flower constantly. Sickly plants become vibrantly alive. Medicinal herbs become super potent. Flowers become more vivid right before your very eyes. ProtoGrow also improves the taste quality of all your garden vegetables. That's because it's more than just an all-natural superfood for plants. It's a proprietary blend of bioactive sea nutrients that contain the basic building blocks of life itself, which is why ProtoGrow even renews your garden by increasing the microorganisms in the soil. Learn more at growlikecrazy.com. That's growlikecrazy.com. Get special pricing for network listeners right now at growlikecrazy.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Something and then have problems retaining what you really needed to retain. Certainly in school, we know that how huge that is and the whole testing thing and what do you recall. And then there's the argument about, well, you read something and what are you taking away from it? And then somebody says, well, why is that important? And your mind goes through all these machinations of different quarters you're going down because you can't really remember what was important about what you read. Very frustrating and something I think that we all struggle with. Well, I have an answer for that. John Huffman joins us, and he's written a book called Power Learning. And we know this. If you're a learner, you want to get ahead. How do you do that when you're reading, thinking, communicating, all that kind of stuff? And John's had a lifetime of it, so it's perfect to have him on the show. Hey, John, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Did you write that book because you know what it was like, you know, to have to go through a lot of information and pull it together and assess it? I mean, you know, you have a master's in pastoral studies, so you've also got another side to you. But all those degrees, the degrees that you've earned, you've had to remember names and pieces of information. So is that how you got good at it?
Yes. When I first started my freshman year in college, I had a little struggle trying to keep up with everything. Things are real fast-paced in the college setting, and you have to learn how to quickly get the main ideas out of a textbook for one subject and then turn right around and go into another subject in a textbook and get that information and then keep it all separate. You know, so after a while, I developed these systems, and gradually over several years, I developed different systems for different situations that came up. So a lot of it deals with learning in college or graduate courses, but a lot of it deals with just learning what you need to learn every day, too.
So give us a sneak peek of power learning. What would be a technique that people listening could take away and apply right now?
Well, main thing is that when you're looking at, say, a textbook or something, you would need to learn the main ideas. And so I have techniques for picturing main ideas, and the details kind of fall into place if you concentrate so hard on the main ideas that you're looking for. And so my techniques teach you how to concentrate more powerfully. That's why I call it power learning. And with these techniques, you can learn things in order if you want to, or you can learn them in and out of order. So I tell you, sometimes I meet up with a couple at dinner sometimes out of town, and we haven't talked in a while. So I gather a few points that I want to bring up during their conversation. And sometimes I have 9, 10, 11 ideas that I could bring up. And whenever the conversation kind of gets in a lull, then I'll bring up one of those. And I can do, you know, and bring them up in and out of order. It doesn't matter about how I learned them. I can go down to number 9 and bring that up for the next point. So that's something I use practically a lot.
So much of that is visualization, is really thinking in pictures.
Yes, because we tend to be eye-minded. You know, sometimes you meet a person and you think, well, you know, I've met this person before, but you're not going to remember his name. And that's because we're eye-minded. We remember the faces very easily. So I also explain how you can focus your attention on that person's face and also associate his name to it. So the next time you see his face, you remember it. You pick out a prominent aspect of his face. He might have a larger nose, or he has thick eyebrows or something like that, something that would stand out the next time you saw him. And then you associate a picture with him that would remind you of the name. And that works real well.
Wow. I'm speaking with John Huffman. Power Learning is the name of the book. And I can completely relate to that, because as somebody who speaks for a living, when I'm not in a studio and I'm out speaking to people, you know, from stages, getting off, the way I remember people is exactly that, John, because too many people are approaching me and I can look at name tags and names, but then it all becomes the same. And then I would get the names confused. So I started to do that to really look at their face. And there's something to that too, because you're actually concentrating. You're having even if it's a 1 minute conversation, you're having a conversation, right?
Right. Yes.
Yeah, and I would think that would help. What made you decide you were going to write this? Because of what you went through, like we talked about in the beginning?
Yes. I wanted to share the idea with some other people. I'm sure others find the same situation when they get into college or get into even the workplace where you have to learn a new job, maybe. Sometimes somebody has to review the basic job that you're going to be handling when you get there, because you've never done it before. And I found that you just pick up all the ideas that they present to you. And I've had people show me how to do something one day, and the next day I would tell them what I learned the day before. And they would say, okay, well, that's got that. So it helps you to fast learn things so that you can get into what's actually needed from you.
Right, so it's separating what you don't know and just letting the extraneous information fall to the side. And with people who take notes, and you see this, John, and I was one of those people where you're taking crazy amounts of notes, and then at the end of it, I would just have pages and pages of notes, and I still didn't get the main point. And that's what you're saying.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
So you got to concentrate on the main things, and surprisingly, the details will fall into place that your natural mind, you're still using your natural memory, and but you're just enhancing it somewhat with little extra devices to bring those thoughts together in an organized fashion.
We're speaking with John Huffman. His book is called Power Learning. After you put this together and you showed it to some people, what was the reaction to this?
Well, I think they thought it was unique. I don't know exactly how. Sometimes I didn't meet these people again after they had the information, whether they were using it or not. But I'm sure it was a help to them. That if they put it into practice, it would be a great help to them.
Yeah. And you know, we talk about power learning, and that's the whole idea, because you cut through what we're talking about here, what's not necessary. You let it fall to the side. You gave a couple of different ideas about remembering somebody's name and also in visualizing whatever the material is. What was the hardest for you because you've done a lot of different things. You were in the U.S. Army. I mentioned the master's that you got in the biblical studies. You got a business administration degree. What was the toughest of all that you did to really pull together and learn?
Well, that's kind of hard to say, but I know when I was in the Army, my last year in the service, I worked at what's called an AC station. It's where the recruiters from the Air Force, the Army, the Marines, and the Navy bring the new recruits in to have them take a medical or physical exam and get all their paperwork together, and then they send them out to Fort Bragg or Fort Jackson or something like that. So during the month, each day, people would be coming in, and we had as much as 150 seats available. So sometimes you wouldn't have but 20 or 30 people, but towards the end of the month, the recruiters would be bringing in more people to get that quota for the month. And so we could have up to 150 people. And every morning, regardless of how many is out there, I would learn everyone's name, because they brought some papers in, and then they had to have some copies made, and I got to see their face and their name. And then later on in the day, say about 10 o'clock, they were to be called into a room to take the oath that they're joining the service. And rather than me getting the paper out or a clipboard and calling out names, I just stood up and said, when I call your name, you stand up in line so we can go get the be sworn in. And I just go down the rows one by one, name by name, and call them out. And I could call out every one of them. So that impressed them that I knew their names. So during the day, if anything came up, I could call them, you know, call them a certain one. If maybe a clerk or somebody was looking for a particular one to fill out something on the paper, I could get the person that they were looking for.
Wow, that's impressive and a perfect place to stop this interview, because we know we need power learning. John Huffman, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powder Yarko that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powder Yarko Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powder Yarko Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
In the middle of a crisis, now is the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity and pursuing my dreams. I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.